to 5, verses 12 to 20. Two healing stories that Jenny read for us. The man with leprosy was healed, and then a man with a paralyzed man was healed. We're mainly going to look at the first healing this morning. I'm saying that in case you think when it gets to about 20 past 11, you might think, oh, he's still on the first one, and we're going to be here. I do know what I'm doing. It might not instill much confidence in you this morning, but I do know. And as I'm telling you now at the start, we're just going to look mainly at the man with leprosy. But we're continuing our look through Luke's gospel and Jesus' ministry as recorded by Luke. Interestingly, Luke is the only Gentile, the only non-Jew author of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark and John and Paul and James and the ones who wrote the letters are all Jewish. But Luke is the only Gentile, and so he has various characteristics. He was a foreigner, if you like. Anne, who's with the Lord now, Anne was German, wasn't she? And she had very different characteristics in the way she spoke sometimes, although sometimes you wouldn't know, would you, where she came from. Anybody here not from the United Kingdom? I wouldn't say that because Gwen, who used to do the children's story, was born in Sweden, wasn't she, somewhere? And I said something years ago about it, and she said, well, I was born in Sweden. Technically, she was British. But, you know, foreign people have different characteristics in that sense. And Luke, as a non-Jewish author, has his own style, as various preachers have their own style. There are some preachers, and you'll think of them now. I mean, dear Dick Chammins, whose funeral... And other preachers who come, and they have their own... Some preachers would come and they'd always mention ball club if they won, and they'd not mention them if they lost. Well, I broke my own rule again because they lost yesterday anyway. School teachers. You know, you remember the school teachers, and some of them would give you homework, and you were... Doctors, well, Dr. David's gone now, hasn't he? But, you know, we've got our own doctors, haven't we? When you phone up for an appointment and they say, oh, you can see Dr. David. You say, oh, I don't want him. It's Dr. Sarah. Oh, no, she's gentle. We'll have that appointment. They've all got their own styles, haven't they? Their own... And Luke is characterised by various characteristics. And as a doctor, healings, you'd expect there to be lots of healing. And there are lots of healings. In the original Greek, Luke actually uses lots of medical terms that aren't... It doesn't come through as we read them, but he would actually be quite specific in naming... I know we've been recorded, but we would say someone's got piles... Luke would say, no, they've got hemorrhoids. You know, he would use the proper... That's the only medical term I know, really, but he'd use the proper... So healings are a big thing as a doctor. He also, one of his characteristics is the gospel is universal. Luke would approve of us singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. Not just the Jewish world, but the whole world in his hands. Whether it's the tiny baby, young or the old. Whether it's the Jew or the Gentile, whether it's the male or the... He's the God of everybody. He's got the whole world in his hands. Universalism, it's called, and I use that term hesitantly because there are some people who use the term universalism to mean that at the end of the day, God will forgive everybody anyway. He's such a loving God that no matter how bad you've been, when you get to heaven, God will say, oh, I love you, I forgive you, you come on in. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that everyone can be saved if they repent. It doesn't say that everyone will be saved. We have to make that decision while we're alive. But Luke, one of the emphases of Luke is that everybody may be saved. He has lots of stories about people being saved. He has lots of stories of outcasts, people that And the language I'm about to say now is quite dated, but he would say women. Now, we know equality today, but back then, women were outcasts. Women were lower than the lowest, really. And yet Luke gives women a very special, an elevated place. Luke mentions 13 women that nowhere else found in the Bible. He has a special place for children as well, for foreigners, the Good Samaritan. It's only found in Luke's Gospel. He's the only one who mentions this good foreigner. And praise is a gospel of praise. But healings. Our passage has two healings. And as I said, we're going to look at the first one mainly, the man with leprosy. Now, leprosy in Scripture is a picture, very often taken as a picture of sin. And it's a good picture. It's a good picture because the devastating results of leprosy is death. You get leprosy, you die. Historically, there are cures today, but historically, you got leprosy. It was called a living death. And it's compared to sin because the result of sin is death. The wages of sin, the end result of sin, will lead to death. Leprosy leads to death. And so the two are compared. And the leprosy will start off with a spot here, and a spot here, and then it spreads, and it gets all over, and eventually you are covered in leprosy, like sin. It starts off with a little sin here. Oh, we got away with that one. Just a little sin, but one, so another little sin here. And eventually we are full of sin. In fact, Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah uses the illustration of leprosy, of disease, and he says, from the sole of your feet to the top of your head, there are wounds and bruises and open sores. There's leprosy. You're covered in sin. It's not a nice picture. Leprosy is not a nice disease. And the idea is that sin is not nice to God. That's Isaiah 1 verse 6. 3 points this morning then. The man needed to be made clean, he wanted to be made clean, and then finally he was made clean. But he needed to be made clean. Leprosy starts, as I said, with a little spot, a little rash, perhaps a couple of spots, and you look at it, you think, well, I hope it's not leprosy. And then there's a third one and a fourth one. And here's our man, and Luke says in the passage that Jenny read for us, Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, when Jesus came in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. There weren't just one or two little spots of leprosy. He was in the latter stages of this deadly disease. This was an advanced stage. And I need to reemphasize, Luke was a doctor. This is not a this is not a self-diagnosis. This is not man flu. This is a proper doctor recording this. And talking of doctors, did I ever tell you? German Anne always laughed when I said about the time I was in hospital, and this doctor said he was covered. He was full of leprosy. It's the same word that's used of Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely full of the Spirit was Jesus. And this man was from head to toe, he was covered. He was a hopeless case. He needed to be made clean. Okay, so we've got the disease. We go to the doctors. We get some cream and today I'm talking about, and you're probably better in a week, and it's cleared up. And there was no cure back then for leprosy. No cure. Without going into detail, leprosy has been described as a living death. It attacks the nerves. It attacks the nervous system. So you can't feel pain. You can't feel anything. So you don't know if you're limbs fall off, actually. You bump into things and you lose a limb. You can't feel anything. you get an infection. This man was in desperate need. He needed to somehow get rid of this disease. So how did people cope back then? Well, there was a medical journal, and it's called the Book of Leviticus. In the Old Testament, the Book of Leviticus is the Old Testament equivalent of, I looked this up this morning, the Oxford Handbook of Medical Practice. I said that, but David's gone out with the Sunday school. The Oxford Handbook of Medical Practice. But Leviticus is the doctor's journal. And the priests were the doctors back then. And if you'd like to look at Leviticus chapter, I'll quote the verses in full, but it's Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. You went to the priest for a diagnosis, and the priest would just scratch the surface with you. And if it's just, see, that's okay. If it's just, but chapter 13 of Leviticus and verse 8 says this: if the rash has spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infectious disease. That's what it says, in verse 8. You're unclean, you've got this infectious disease. The rash spreads around your body, and it's infectious. It infects others. You see why sin, the comparison is a good? Because your sin affects other people as well. You might think it doesn't, but it spreads. And the rule was, Leviticus 13, verse 45, the person with such an infectious disease must cover the lower part of his face, COVID, lower part of his face with a mask, and cry out, unclean, unclean. Is this bringing memories of 5 years ago, they said, COVID? Cover the lower part of his face. And what's more, verse 46, the very next verse, Leviticus 13, 45. Now the next verse, Leviticus 13, 46, says, he must live alone outside the camp. He's got to be in isolation. This was a highly catchable, so he had to be separate. Leprosy separates. Sin separates. It's a good comparison. There's another story in Luke later on in chapter 17, where there was 10 lepers, and it says they stood at a distance. They were separate. They stood at a distance. You literally avoided leprosy like the plague. Literally. In fact, Leviticus 13:52 says he had to burn his infected clothes. It was a highly infectious. When we travelled down yesterday, you know, we got down the motorway and quite approaching Tiverton, and there on the hard shoulder was a bundle. I said to Jackie and Ben, I said, look, there's baby Moses, because it looked like it was a bundle of clothes were on the hard shoulder, and I thought somebody must have had that on the, and they'll be disappointed. But I don't know about you, if I see anything like that, I like to, I mean, I didn't on the motorway, obviously. If I see a penny on, I'd pick up. You've got to be so careful these days, though, when you, what was it, that Dawn Sturgis and the Sergio and Julio Stripple and the Novichok and the perfume that Dawn Sturgis had. And there was that. But a few years ago, there were some lads playing by the river, and they found a little bundle of clothes floating around. This true story I'm about to tell you, by the way, and it's from Barnstable, actually. And there they were by the river, and they found this bundle. And they picked up this bundle, and it was some bedding, it was some sheets and clothes, all wrapped up nice and neat, and they wondered, and they thought, wow, this is wonderful. There's four lads playing, and they found it, and they took it home and dried it all out, and they didn't realise that the bedding was infected by people from Bristol. And they'd thrown it in the River Avon at Bristol, and with the various tides, that's a tidal river, the Avon, and it had come right round and gone in the tidal river. And it was a family called the Ley, L-E-Y, four brothers. And 1646 was the year, and these lads got the plague, and they all died. They all died. And depending on which story you read, they then planted some elm trees along the river just to commemorate elm trees. And it was just by the bridge there in Biddeford, about 100 yards further down in Barnstaple, but I say Biddeford, in Barnstaple. And it's now called the Seven Brethren Industrial Estate. It's named after these, well, some people, four, and the lay brothers, and some say it's named after the seven trees. But it's infectious. That was the point. That's why I tell you that story. And got that wrong, didn't I? In Barnstaple, then. Not in... So we do, Ben's right when he tells me you do have to be careful what you pick up and what you find here and there. Highly infectious. You've got to burn it. You've got to get rid of it. Because even in the sea, this plague, as it was then in 1646, was still infectious. You've got to burn your clothes. It's infectious. Wear a mask. Cry out and clean. Be separate. Leprosy was nothing short than a living death. The man needed, that's our first point, the man needed to be clean. He was in a desperate need. The second point is that he wanted to be made clean. Now, some people enjoy good, enjoy bad health, don't they? They're at the doctor's morning, noon and night. David's not here to say, yes, you're right there. My grandfather, you know, you'd go and see my grandpa and you say, hello, Grandpa, how are you? He was a coal miner, he smoked heavily, Ollie, and his breathing was, you could hear it rattling. And he said, how are you? He could hardly talk, but 2 hours later, he'd still be telling you how he was, because he loved... Have you ever seen that woman on Doc Martin, Mrs. Tishel? She loved wearing that doings, didn't she? She loved saying, I'm poorly, I'm... Some people enjoy, but our man wanted to be made well. Now, the law required them to keep their distance. How could he get to Jesus? The law said you've got to be separate. Well, looks like he broke the law, because what Jenny read for us, Luke 5, verse 12, when Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along. Came along. When he saw Jesus, he fell. Looks like he broke the law. This man covered in leprosy, who should have been separate. That's how it reads in our Bible. But the reality is, that's not how it reads in the original. Because this man, we don't know how he heard that Jesus was going to be in town, but he came along stealthily, I would think. I'm reading between the lines in this one, because the actual Greek says, when Jesus was in one of the towns, pause, behold a man covered in leprosy. He just appeared. It looks as though he was hiding in the bushes, perhaps. And it says, well, Jesus came. Suddenly a man was there, a leper was there. And he came face down, falling with his face to the ground, and he begged. This man needed to be clean. And he wanted to be clean. He was a man found in hiding. He came humbly. With his face to the ground, he came begging. He needed to be made clean. He wanted to be made clean. Desperately wanted to be made well. And finally, we can say he was made clean. He was made clean. You see, he came begging. Lord, he said, I know you can. I know your blood can make the foulest clean. I know that. I know you can. I know you have the power, but... but are you willing to clean me? And so today there are people perhaps in churches who are questioning not his ability. We know his touch still has its ancient power. We know that he can still, but we're not sure if he wants me. If he's willing to have me. You see, I've seen a change in other people. I've seen people come to Christ. I've seen Anne and her testimony and how wonderful, what a difference it makes when someone comes. But you see, I've done some wicked things. That man that the preacher's talking about, He had leprosy. He didn't choose leprosy, but I've chosen my lifestyle. I've chosen to be a bad lot. I'm not sure that he'd want me. I'm not sure I'd want me, because I'm not worthy. And you know what? It says, verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, "Yes, I am willing. I want you." And immediately, verse 13, the leprosy left him. Jesus reached down and met him in his need. The point is, Jesus touched him. Jesus spoke to him. Jesus healed him, and the leprosy left him. But he had to ask. And then it happened at once. So the question is this morning, do you recognize yourself? Do we recognize ourselves in our need? Do we want to be made clean? We're covered in sin. We know that. Do we want to be forgiven, or are we enjoying our sin too much? Or do we think we've gone too far? Do we think, I'm too far? People say that. Oh, he's too far gone to be saved. Listen, his blood can make the foulest clean, because his blood, that he can save to the uttermost. I just finish off by saying the rule was in Leviticus, you had to go to the priest to be signed off, as it were. You had to go back to the doctors, and the doctor would look and pronounce and say, yeah, it's gone, it's going. Not leprosy after all. You carry on. You, as the doctor would say, back to work on Monday. You know, you're all right. So he went back to the priest, and Jesus said to him, go back to the priest, but don't, verse 14 of Luke 5, don't tell anyone. Just go and show yourself to the priest. Yet, verse 15 says, the news spread all the more. Isn't that amazing? We evangelicals, we Baptists, if you like, we tell from the pulpit congregations to go and tell. Go with David and Sarah and others and do the leaflets and invite people and put it on the Facebook and on the web and bring your friends. Go and tell, and we don't. Jesus said to this man, don't tell, and he did. What a turnaround. Go and tell, and we don't. Don't tell, and he did. One sentence to finish off, the paralyzed man, the paralyzed man was healed. I think Luke includes that just to show that Jesus is not stereotyped in the way that he heals. He healed the leprosy by touching, he heals others by a word. He heals others. There's different ways, but it's all the same. That this is a picture of sin and its devastating effects. We need to be cleansed from our sin, whatever, from the illness, if you like, from leprosy, paralysis, whatever the problem might be, the devastating effect we need. Do you really want to be made whole, or are you just making excuses? Come and ask, and then go and tell. Tell of the Christ who is able, who has the power, who is mighty to save. Because once we are clean, we too will be thankful, and we will want to go and tell. And that's our final hymn just now. If I've got the number somewhere, but anyway, it'll be on the screen. Is it Go Forth and Tell? Is that one? It is Go Forth and Tell. 178, Go Forth and Tell. O Church of God, awake! God's saving news to all the nations take. 178.